Morning. Today's Daf in Menachos is Yudalev. We are starting today on the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Topic for discussion will be continuation of Piggle. So everyone sit tight. Okay, I know you were worried. How much longer we have Piggle? So thankfully we're going to have a little bit more of Piggle discussion. And we're having Piggle discussion primarily today on the in the context of the Shtei Halachim. So let's go by way of introduction. The Torah and Parshas Emor outlines the various karbanos that are brought on the various yontifs of the year. Starting with Pesach, and moving on from there. So we know that Pesach, the 15th day of Nisan, actually, we can even back up one day, the 14th day of Nisan. So we bring the Karban Pesach as a Jewish people. 15th day is now Yontif, and on that, there's a complement of special Karbanos that are brought on Pesach, and that is, of course, also for the duration of Pesach. Second day of Pesach, 16th day of Nisan, also a special Karban that's brought, Karban Omer. We're going to be talking about that later in the Masechta. In the sixth parak of Menachos, we will be discussing extensively the Karban Omer. It's a very unusual type of mincha. We already discussed its unusual nature. It's made from barley. It's not made from wheat. All Menachos come from wheat, except for the Omer. And the Mincha Sota. Okay, that's coming up. That's coming up later. And then the Torah outlines that there is Shavuos and then Shavuos. So there are also special Karbanos that are brought in Shavuos as well. I'm in Parshas Emor, Perich of Gimel of Vayikra, and I'm starting in Pasuk Tezvav. Usfartam Lechem Me'machras Shabbos Mi'amah Ve'achem Esomer Tenufa, Sheva Shabbosos Temimos Tiyena. So you count 7 weeks. Ad Mi'machras Shabbos HaShvitz Tisperu 50 Yom, and you're going to count 50 days. Ve'yikrafte Mincha Chadash Al Hashem, and then you're going to bring Mincha Chadasha. You're going to bring a new Mincha on the 50th day. Okay, right? I know it's confusing. You count 7 weeks, which is 49 days. And then you count 50 days. You know, well, the Gemara later on, when we get to the sixth parak, the Gemara is going to note the discrepancy. I'm just rolling out today the basics of the Karbanos that are brought on Shavuos. So you're going to bring Mincha Chadash and new Mincha. Mimosh Vosechem Teviu Lechem Tenufa Shtaim Shnei Esronim Solos Tiyena. So we're going to be bringing bread, but we're going to be bringing bread two. Shtaim Shnei Esronim Solos Tiyena. Each one is made up of one Isarim, so then, in other words, the combined total, of course, is two Isarim. Chametz Teafena, we're going to make it into Chametz, Bikurim Lashem, and it's going to be Bikurim. It's going to be a new offering. Vikraftem Alechem, and then together in conjunction with the bread. So there are two loaves of bread, and from this point going forward, we're going to call them very simply Shtei Halechem, two loaves of bread. Special Karban that's brought on Shavuos. What is noteworthy about this in terms of a Mincha is that it is chametz. It actually is left to rise and become leavened. And that's unusual in the world of Menachos. That's something we'll be discussing, but not today. V'kraftem alechem, and together in conjunction with the bread, you're going to bring shiva kvasim temimim b'nei shana. So you're going to bring 7 sheep, and upar ben makar echad, and a bull. V'elim shnayim, 2 ram, yiyu ola la'ashem u'mincha u'niskem yishem reich nicholach la'ashem, with all the complimentary nesachim. V'asisam sirizim echelachatas, and you're also going to bring a goat as well. The goat's going to come as a chatas. That happens on every yantiv. And then, I'm in the middle of Pasuk Yates, Ushnech vasim b'nei shana lezevach shlamim. And then something also that is noteworthy and an anomaly in terms of Karbanos is that we're going to be bringing 2 lambs on Shavuos, and it's going to be they're going to come in the form of shlamim. What other Karbanos are there that comes as shlamim for communal offering? Don't think too hard. The answer is, there is none other. In other words, another anomaly that exists on Shavuos is that you have shlamim coming as shalmet sibor. These two sheep. Now, these two sheep are very special in that, next pasuk chaf, ve'nifa kohen osam alechem habikorim, they're going to be waved together with the bread. So there are two sheep that are going to be waved together with the 2 loaves of bread that are offered on Shavuos. To nufal lefnei Hashem, al shnei chvasim, kodesh yihiyu la'Hashem la'kohen. And they are going to be sanctified. And so therefore, there is a clear connection between the 2 lamb that is offered on Shavuos and the 2 loaves of bread. Ukrasa metzam ayom hazeh, mikra kodesh yalachem kom lechaz avod lo'sasu, chukas olam b'chol moshe v'sechem l'dor v'sechem. Okay. There's more, but that's what we need to know right now. For now, I don't speak much about mazalos. I don't know much about astrology. I know little about astronomy, a little bit, but I know very little, even less about astrology. However, first of all, mazalos is a nice thing. It's a Jewish thing. It's not a, in other words, I know, you know, it got a little warped over the years in terms of, you know, the proper attitude towards mazalos. But anyway, and the mazal of Sivan, in which the Yantav of Shavuos comes out, is Ta'omim, it's twins. And you think about Shavuos, like I've said this before. It's not the first time I'm saying this. You think about Shavuos, so the theme of Shavuos is two, right? The Shtei Luchos, the Shtei Lechem, the Shtei Kvasim, meaning thematically for Shavuos is two. That's the theme of Shavuos. Okay, and why that is and what that means? I'll let the Rav during a drasha try to figure that out. You know, we're learning Gemara, but okay, it's clearly a theme of Shavuos. Okay, in the meantime, however, here's what we know. In other words, when it comes to now the relationship between the two loaves of bread and the shtei and the shtei kvasim and the two lambs, so they are connected with one another. As we were going to be learning on the course of the entire morning this morning, so the two lambs now serve as the matir for the two loaves of bread. In other words, for the two loaves of bread, there is no kmitza that's done for taken from the two loaves of bread, but rather, how are we allowed to eat? And when I say we, I really mean the Kohanim, because it's shalmit sibur. So that means it's only eaten by the Kohanim. How are the Kohanim allowed to eat the two loaves of bread? There's no kmitza taken off. What's the matir? The matir is the two lambs that are offered. And so over here, we have now a double matir. So we have a double matir of the two lambs going on the shtei alechem. Now the shtei alechem, are they treated like two independent loaves? Are they treated like one unit? That's going to be a big part of today's daf in terms of how to properly view the two loaves of bread. And also we have a double matir. So we have a double matir of the shteik vasim of the two lambs. So that also entertains the discussion of what if I have pigel during one shechting one of the lambs. And this is now brings us to the topic of being mefagel b'chatzi matir, having a pigel machshava with only half of the matir. So you see already that the way we're set up now, there's a lot of discussion and there are literally a lot of variables. There's a lot of moving parts to this discussion. And so admittedly, it's going to get a little bit complicated in the course of this discussion, but this is the necessary background information that we need to know. There are two lambs, there are two loaves of bread. On Shavuos, the lambs serve as a matir for the two loaves of bread. That's the ABCs. That just gets us to the Mishnah. Now that we're here, so let's see the Mishnah inside. We're on the Mishnah, and you give them Amud Beis. Shachar shnei kvasim l'achol achas menachol osamachar. If let's say you shech the two lambs in order to eat from one of the loaves tomorrow. Now, in other words, so you're having a pigel machshava on one of the loaves. Clearly, that one loaf that you had a machshava's pigel on now is going to be mifugal. It's now going to be subject to the pigel prohibition. And therefore, anyone who eats from it is going to be subject to the kares penalty. What about the second loaf of bread? Now, before I answer that question, the Mishnah now is going to take us down another path, which is a very similar path, and that is the two spoonfuls of Lavona. As we already discussed extensively, but here we go again, for the Lechem Apanim that is offered weekly, and not offered, but that is placed weekly on the Shulchan, and then weekly on Shabbos, taken off the Shulchan, and placed on the and eaten by the Kohanim. So what is the matir for the lechem upon him? So we've gone over this numerous times. There are two bazichin, two spoons, small bowls of lavona that are on the top of the columns of the lechem upon him. They are taken off. They are burnt on the mizbech, the two spoonfuls. And that now serves as a matir for the lechem upon him. So here too, it's a similar construct in that I have shtei matirin, I have two matirin. So the shnei bazichin lechol echa min asadarim. So let's say now, that while offering the two spoons, the machshav is going on one of the columns. There are two columns of bread, each column having six loaves. So you have in mind one of the columns, lamachar, and you're going to eat it tomorrow. That's the machshava. So it is a registered machshavas pigel. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, oso achalav, oso aseder shechisha lav pigel, v'chayim lav kares, v'asheni pasol, v'ein bo kares. And the opinion of Rabbi Yossi is that the machshava pigel will affect only the portion that you had the machshava on, and not its counter. So that means to say that by the shtei halechem, when you have a machshavas pigel while shechting the two sheep on only one of the loaves, that loaf and only that loaf is going to be subject to pigel. Similarly, when you have a machshava on one of the columns of the lechem upon him, only that column and only that column is going to be subject to pigel, and the other column is not going to be subject to pigel. Now, there is obviously a disqualification of the second loaf and the second column of the lechem upon him, clearly. In other words, the vasheni pasul ve'in bo kares. But in other words, about the Isser Pigel will not affect the second. Why? That is the topic of today's discussion. So it's a big question with a long answer. So we're gonna wait for that. The Chachamim Amar Zev Zev Pigel V'Chayiv Malakaris, and the Chachamim say no. The Chachamim say that look, the two loaves of bread on Shavuos, so there are two loaves, but it's one unit. When you have pigel on one of the loaves, so that means to say that now both loaves are mifugal. Similarly, with the lechem upon him, if you have a machshavas pigel on one of the columns, so then that column and its counter also are subject to pigel. Okay, and so the chachamim's position is really simple to explain in that the shtei lechem, the two loaves of bread on Shavuos, is one unit. And the lechem upon him, even though they come in 12 loaves, are really all but one unit. So when you have a machshava on one, it affects, it influences, it spreads throughout the rest of the, throughout the rest. And so that's the sheet of the chachamim. But what is behind the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Sorry. What's behind the position of Rabbi Yossi? So I'm so happy you asked. I'm Rav Huna, Omer Haya Rabbi Yossi. Now Rav Huna is not giving an explanation.
Why does he have to say one column? Why not just one of the 12?
Okay,
Same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Right? Agreed. I'm Rav Huna, Omer Haya Rabbi Yossi. So now Rav Huna's not giving an explanation to Rabbi Yossi yet, but in other words, what he's going to do is he's just simply going to amplify to what degree Rav Yossi's position can be taken. In that, the Shtei Alechem are two loaves of bread, not one. Meaning, and when we say two, we mean independent of one another. But the Gemara says, according to Rav Huna, not only is Rav Yossi's position going to be play itself out in the case of the two loaves, but it will also go even on a singular animal. Consider. Omer Haya Rav Yossi, pigel be yerech shel yamin. Let's say the pigel was going on the right thigh of the animal. Lo nispagel al yerech shel smol, the left thigh is not going to be included. Now, most probably, as now we are talking about a single animal, and the right thigh and the leg thigh. So most probably the two pieces were already disconnected from one another. Now you don't have to say that, and that part may not be true. And I'm only saying that because I know the Gemara coming up. So, but in other words, but still, the point is as follows: that according to Rav Yossi, pigel is localized. In other words, if you have a machshav of pigel on one portion of a karban, it only affects that portion that you were considering. And it will not spread to the other portion of the karban. Now, by the Shtei Alechem, it's easy to see that because there literally are two different loaves of bread. But what Rav Huna is saying is that for Rav Yossi, it's not just simply limited to the Shtei Alechem. It would be true by any karban. Even if the karban was one animal. But if your machshav of pigel is only going on one part of the animal, so what Rav Huna is trying to argue now is that according to Rav Yossi, it will only keep itself, it will limit itself only to the portion that the machshava on. Now, my taima, ibay se masvar, ibay se makra. So the Gemara says I could look at this both rationally and I could look at this also as a drash as well. Ibay se masvar, so let's give a rationale. Lo adifa machshava mimaisa hatuma. Look, as far as machshava's pigel is concerned, so it's no better, or no worse, I guess depends on which way you look at it. But it's no better than tuma. Ilu itme chad evra mi itme lekule. If one limb becomes tame, is the other limb going to become tame? Now, this is where I said earlier, if the two limbs are connected to one body of the animal, then the answer is yes. In other words, if one part of the animal becomes tame, that tuma goes throughout the rest of the animal. Clearly over here in this argument of tuma, in the comparison of pigel to tuma, clearly we have to entertain the idea that these two limbs are not connected to one another. Now, I feel comfortable saying that because Rashi says it. So in other words, so certainly if we're using this argument of tuma, we have to have the two limbs disconnected from one another, and then the argument makes some perfect sense. Meaning just because at one point historically these two limbs were connected to the same body, but vis-a-vis tuma, if one of the limbs becomes tame, the other limb is not going to become tame. Fine. And what he's arguing is, well, the same thing is now true for Rav Yossi as far as pigel is concerned. When you have a machshava on pigel on one part, it's not going to affect the other part. Okay. And maybe, and I say this only with not a lot of confidence, and maybe then if you're working with the Svara, this idea of Rav Yossi is only after they're detached from one another and not when they're connected. Okay, but in any event, Ibai Samadrasha, Ibai Samakra, or it could be a Svara, It could be a drasha as well. Va'nefesh ha'ochels mimenu avanatisa. Avanatisa. The Torah here brings... The Gemara here brings us to the psukim in the Torah that relate to pigol in Parshat Tzav. We gone through the psukim numerous times back in Zvachim. And the person who eats from it. Focus right now on the word mimenu. From it. Mimenu v'lo mechavero. Meaning that pigol only affects the part that you're thinking about. Mimenu means from it, meaning a portion of it. It's possible that pigol can be localized to the one area and does not spread to other areas of the karban. Okay, so what we have right now is Rav Huna. Yeah, you know what? Let's call it an explanation. Rav Huna now giving an explanation behind Rav Yossi. Why is it that for Rav Yossi, if you have a machshava on Shavuos while shechting the two lambs, on only one of the loaves of bread, only that loaf now is subject to pigol. The second loaf is not subject to pigol. Now, it will be disqualified. Again, that's Xera Durabanan, but it's not going to have the pigol disqualification spread from the first loaf to the second loaf. So what you could have argued is because the two loaves are two independent loaves from one another. But what Rav Huna is saying is that, no, this is a general point as it relates to pigol. Pigol is localized to the area that you're thinking about and does not extend and does not spread. And we can even discuss this. We don't even have to be talking about Shtei Alechem, according to Rav Huna. According to Rav Huna, this can even go on a singular animal where you have a machshav pigol on one part of the animal, only that part of the animal is subject to pigol. The second part of the animal is not going to be subject to pigol. Okay. Or if I can say it really succinctly, Rav Huna's explanation of Rav Yossi, pigol does not spread. Pigol does not spread. You get karis again. Just let's clarify. You get karis for the part that you eat. And now, according to Rav Huna's explanation of Rav Yossi, only the part that was under consideration. Good. Eisvei Rav Nachman le Rav Huna. And so now we are going to be spending the first amud of today's daf testing this thesis, this theory of Rav Huna, this explanation of Rav Huna within Rav Yossi. And so we start with a braisa of Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman quotes a braisa. La'olam ein bo karis ad she'yafagel b'shteihem b'chazayis. So you're not going to be subject to kares until ad she'yafagel b'shteihem. Now I'm going to give you a great trick for today because we're going to be talking a lot today about the shtei alechem and the shtei kvasim. So how do I know? And we're going to keep using the words two. And how do I know if we're talking about the loaves of bread or we're talking about the kvasim? And over here, it's a simple trick. It's a great tell. If you see the word shtayim, so that's going on the loaves of bread. If you see the word shnayim, so that's going on the lambs. Okay, it works. So anyway, la'olam ein bo karis ad she'yafagel b'shteihem b'chazayis. You only are going to be subject to karis when you have a consideration of both loaves of bread, and a chazayis of both loaves. So b'shteihem in ba'achas mehem lo. So clearly in this braisa, now skip the parentheses because we don't know who the author of the braisa is. And we're going to try to figure it out. So clearly in the braisa, you have to have a machshava on both, not one. That's clearly the point of the braisa. On both loaves of bread. Now, money. Who's the author of this braisa? So here we begin. Ilei merabanan. So is it going like the chachamim? So let's remind one another. What did we learn in the Mishnah? Very clear in the Mishnah. When the machshava of pigol is going on one loaf of the bread, the pigol now will go to affect that loaf and its counter loaf as well. In other words, pigol spreads according to the chachamim. Or, to put it in other terms, the two loaves of bread are really considered one unit. Good. So the author of this braisa is not going like the chachamim. That part's clear.
To be considered one unit, did it have to be carried in one kli shart?
I don't think so. So ilim rabbanan afilu ba'achas mehem nami. So elapshita Rav Yossi. So now, by process of elimination, if the brice is not going like the chachamim, it's going like Rav Yossi. Okay. So now the brice is going like Rav Yossi. I amar bishlam echad gufahu. So mishum hachim etzdarev. Now, if I consider the two loaves as one entity, so then I understand how they combine. But ella I amar trei gufei ninu mi mitzdarfe. But if you Rav Huna are really of the position that the two loaves of bread are two independent entities from one another. It is not two loaves as one unit, but it's two loaves, meaning it's one loaf and another loaf. And they're totally separate from one another. So a half a kazayas from one and a half a kazayas of the other will simply not combine. So they are trei gufin, they're two entities, and therefore they don't combine. We're on the very top of Yudav Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, so you are trying to give an explanation on behalf of Rav Yossi talking about this idea that the two loaves are two separate entities, but from the Braisa, we know it's not going like the Chachamim, therefore it's going like Rav Yossi, and the Braisa is clearly articulating that a half a kazayas of one and a half a kazayas of the second loaf can in fact combine, and so therefore you see that it's treated like, the two loaves are treated like one unit. So the Gemara says, there was a third option. We didn't know there was a third option, but there is a third option. Hamani Rebbe Hi, Detanya. The author of the Braisa is Rebbe. Because let's learn together a Braisa. Hashochet es hakeves. Le'echo chatzi zayis mechalazu. V'chein chaver le'echo chatzi zayis mechalazu. So again, on Shavuos, remember, there are two lambs and there are two loaves. The two lambs serves as the double matir. The two loaves are what is nitar, what is becoming permitted through the shechting of the two lambs. While shechting one lamb, you have under consideration how you're going to eat half a kezias of loaf number one tomorrow. And as you're shechting the second lamb, you are now having a consideration, the kohen is having a consideration of eating a chatzi zayis of the second loaf. Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani, Shezeh Kasher. So Rebbe says it's kasher. Now again, we all understand when he says the word kasher, it means you don't get a check for what you did. What you did was not good. But, in other words, kasher over here just simply means that we are not entering into pigel. It does not affect the two loaves. The pigel status will not affect it at all. And therefore, it can be eaten by the Kohanim. Now, taima, please wait. Taima de amar chatzi, chatzi. Now, the reason over here why it is not subject to the pigel is because you said half of a kezias. Aval amar, kezias mishteyem etzarif. Now, whenever we see a brace like this, the Bryce is giving us the biggest chiddush. So all we have to do is just scale back just a little bit, and obviously then it would result in pigel. So if we said, while shechting the lambs, a half a kezias of one and a half a kezias of the other, mishtehem, so then they would combine. So this is the opinion of Rebbe.
That's obvious, I know. If you realize they want to combine the two, so it's like... You're combining. It's not like a...
If they are treated as two separate entities, so then they simply cannot combine. What the Gemara was arguing is that according to Rav Yossi, they are treated like two separate entities. That was Rav Huna's argument on behalf of Rav Yossi. This Braisa is seemingly not working with that understanding. But that's fine right now because the Braisa is going like Rebbe. But the Gemara says, okay, that's fine, the Braisa is going like Rebbe. But Rebbe does not exist on an island. Rebbe obviously has to subscribe to one of the two positions. Does he subscribe to the Chachamim or does he subscribe to Rebbe Yossi? That's the next part of the Gemara. V'Rebbe Aliba Deman. Well, who's Rebbe holding like? I Aliba de Rabban, and if he's holding like the Chachamim, afil b'achas mem nami. Well, again, according to the Chachamim, clearly we know how the Chachamim view the two loaves. They view the two loaves as one entity. You have a machshavas pigel on one of the loaves. And when I say one of the loaves, it doesn't even have to be on the entire loaf. On a kezias of one of the loaves, so that now that pigel will spread throughout not only that loaf, but through the second loaf as well. So it's clearly, in other words, so according to the Chachamim, you don't even have to have both loaves under consideration. One loaf would be enough to affect both. And I Aliba de Rav Yossi Hadra Kush L'Duchta. Now, what do you want to tell me? That he's going like Rav Yossi? So he's going like Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi, isn't our understanding of Rav Yossi that the two loaves are treated like two independent items? And therefore, under no circumstances should they be able to combine in order to result in pigel. So Lo'olam Aliba de Rabban. So the Gemara says, okay. So what really Rebbe is holding is Rebbe is holding like the Chachamim. V'lo tema. Ashi yifagal b'shteyem. Ela ema ashi yifagal b'shneihem. So the Gemara says over here, we're going to make an adjustment, a modification of the Braisa. The Braisa, when talking about two, which two? The lambs or the bread? So up until now, we've been assuming that they were talking about the bread. The Gemara says, nope, they were not talking about the bread, they were talking about the lambs. And it's a small adjustment, by the way. It's not a major adjustment. We're just taking the word shtehem and we're changing it to shnehem. Now it's going on the lambs. Now remember, now that we're changing topic, going from bread to lambs, we're talking no longer about the nitar, that which becomes permitted, but we're now talking about the matir, that which creates the permission, otherwise known as the shechting of the lambs. Now, va'afilu ba'achas mehem. And that means to say that even if you had a machshava for one of the two. Ulafuki midra meir. And this excludes the from the position of Rameir, the Amar Mefaga Mechatimater, Kamash Malandalo. And that's the point of the Braisa. The point of the Braisa is that in order to create Pigo by the Shtei Halechem, the Shtei Kvasim Shtei Halechem relationship, you have to have a Machshava during the Shechting of lamb number one and lamb number two. It will be insufficient if you have a Machshava's Pigo during the Shechting of one of the two. Why? Because we don't subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav Meir. The viewpoint of Rav Meir, which we saw extensively throughout Zvachim, and now we're seeing here, kind of for the first time in Menachos, presented as this formally, Rav Meir is of the opinion that you can create pigel with chatzi matir, with a half of a matir. So that's the opinion of Rav Meir. And the whole point of the Braisa is bishnehem, that you only create pigel when you have a machshava, when you shecht lamb number one and lamb number two. Because they both serve as a matir. So So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you what. I don't understand the language of la'olam. La'olam is the most extreme language that one can say. It will never become pigol unless. Now, Iyamar bishlama bishteimu v'shneihem, v'rev yosi hu lafukim midra meir midra banakasi, hainu dekamar la'olam. So the Gemara says, let's entertain the following. Look at the word la'olam. La'olam means it's never going to be pigol unless. So really what we're dealing with is the most extreme version of the most extreme point. So the Gemara says, actually, I get it if it's going on both Shteyem and Shnehem, meaning both, the point is going both on the lambs and on the two loaves. Now consider, on the lambs, I need to have the machshava during lamb number one and number two. Why? Because we don't subscribe to Rav Meir. Rav Meir allows for pickle to occur with Chatzi Matir. We don't subscribe to Rav Meir. And on top of that, in order to affect pigel by the Shtei Halechem, I have to have under consideration loaf number one and loaf number two. Why? Because loaf number one and loaf number two are considered one single unit. So then, we are excluding ourselves from the position of Rav Yossi and the position of Rav Meir. Let me say it more correctly. It's the author of the Braisa is Rav Yossi. And to exclude herself from the opinion of Rav Meir and from the opinion of Chachamim. Again, it excludes from Rav Meir because Rav Meir says that you can create pigel even with chatzi matir, even while having the machshava during shechting one of the lamps, not both of the lamps. So, point number one of the Braisa, we don't agree with that. Point number two of the Braisa is that if I have a machshava only on one loaf, so that's insufficient. Now, whose position is that excluding from? The Chachamim. We saw back in the Mishnah. The beginning of Shir today. The Chachamim, the Mishnah says that if you have a machshava on one loaf, so the pigel now will go to that loaf and spread to the second loaf. And the point of the Braisa is, no, it only will be pigel when I have a machshava on both loaves, and that's to exclude from the position of the Chachamim. So, umidirabbanan kaasi hainu dekamar la'olam. And that would then do a wonderful job using the word la'olam and understanding it correctly. It will not be pigel until this and this. Okay. Ela'iyamat Rabbanu lafukim midrab meir my la'olam. And if you're telling me that the entire point of the Braisa is to exclude ourselves from the position of Rav Meir, the word la'olam is just simply too extreme. Because over here, there are two loaves and there are two lambs. If all I wanted to do was just simply say that we don't subscribe to Rav Meir, don't say the word la'olam. Just simply say that in order for pigel to occur, I have to have in the machshava for lamb number one and lamb number two. The word la'olam is just too strong a language. It seems to be going on everything, lambs and bread. And so it's really hard to entertain that the whole point of the Braisa is just to exclude ourselves from the position of Rav Meir. The word la'olam really doesn't speak to that idea. Va'od. And furthermore, ha amar Rav Ashi, tashma. The Gemara says, let's also take the following under consideration. Rav Ashi teaches the following Braisa. Rebbe Omer, this is now obviously the reflection of the opinion of Rebbe. And Mishum Rav Yossi, in the name of Rav Yossi. So really, the truth of the matter is right now, the real focus is the fact that this is an opinion of Rav Yossi. Now remember, the entire Amud of today is to test whether Rav Huna's understanding of Rav Yossi is correct. Rav Huna's understanding of Rav Yossi is that, according to Rav Yossi, when you have machshava on loaf number one, it doesn't spread to loaf number two. Either because it's a svara, because just like Tuma only affects the part that it affects and not nothing else that's connected. so too pigle. Or it's a drasha. The drasha says, mi menu, that pigle is localized and pigle doesn't spread. And so this is now the explanation of Rav Yossi, where you have the machshava going on one loaf, it doesn't spread to the second loaf. So right now, we are testing whether or not Rav Huna's understanding of Rav Yossi is correct, and the Gemara says, we'll consider now the following braisa. Pigle b'davar anase b'chutz, pigle b'davar anase b'fnim, lo pigle. If you have pigle on something outside, if you have pigle on something inside, it is not pigle. What does that mean? Ketzad. So let's continue reading. Let's say you're standing outside. Outside over here, this is relatively speaking. Outside just simply means outside of the heichal. If you're standing outside, and let's say that you have in mind that what you're going to do is you're going to sprinkle tomorrow, and what you're and you're looking to sprinkle inside the heichal, so lo pigol shemachshava bechutz bedavar nasa bifnim, because that's a machshava of something while outside and something that is inside. In other words, the machshava of pigle is only registered when you're having the machshava in the appropriate place where this particular avodah is done. So if you're having a machshava in the azara about an avodah that's done in the heichal, it doesn't register. If you have a machshava of something that's done in the azara and you're having the machshava while in the heichal, that too does not register. Now let's say that while standing outside, meaning outside over here means the azara, and you say that you're going to shech the animal so that you're going to sprinkle the shirayim, not sprinkle, pour the shirayim tomorrow, or burn the imurim tomorrow, so now pouring the shirayim is done in the azara. The burning of the imurim is done in the azara. So now this registers as pigle. Pigle shemachshava b'chutz, b'davar nasa b'chutz. So you're having a machshava of something that's done, I'm sorry, you're having a machshava while in the azara of something that's done in the azara. So therefore, it now registers as pigle. Lishpoch shirayim l'afgulei mai. Now that we got through the braisa, so here's now the next step. Next step. So we've just learned together that, according to Rav Yossi, when you are shechting the animal, that's one of the four avodas, and you have in mind how you're pouring the blood of this carbon tomorrow. Pouring of the blood is done on the outer mizbeach in the azara, so that registers as pigle. What registers as pigle? It's not going to be the blood, and that's the Gemara's point. My ilay malav gulei dam dami mefagel dam. In other words, you can create pigle through the blood, but the blood is not the part of the carbon that becomes pigle. V'atanan. The Gemara says it's a Mishnah. Elu dvarim she'ein chayav l'mishum pigle. These are the things that don't become pigle. Akometz, v'halavona, v'hakatares, u'minchas kohanim, u'minchas nesachim, u'minchas kohen mashiach, v'hadam. In other words, those things that serve as the matir, so in other words, they affect pigle, but they don't actually become the disqualification of pigle. Yeah. Included in this list, of course, is blood. Blood is a matir. Blood, therefore, will affect pigle, but it won't become pigle.
You have a pasuk that says you can't eat blood.
No. I understand that. Right, there's a prohibition to eat blood. There's also a prohibition of eating chalev as well. In other words, there's a disqualification of pigle. And with the disqualification of pigle also comes the Isser Kares that comes along with it. Now, there already is, to your point, there's already an Isser Kares when it comes to blood. Okay, but that part's true. But in other words, but blood is not going to become pigle. So, when you are now pouring the shirayim, when the Kohen articulates, while shechting the animal, I'm going to be pouring the shirayim tomorrow, and Rav Yossi and the Braisa taught us, and now it's going to become pigle. What's the its? It's going to become pigle. So it's clearly going on the rest of the animal. Ela pshita lafkule basar. So hashto mahasam de lo chashebe babasa gufe am Rav Yossi mefagel hachad de chashebe bezevach gufe lo kol shekein. And so here we have now such a strong question. So your machshavas pigle is going on the blood, and what actually now becomes pigle? The animal. Blood and animal, even though they're coming from the same entity, but they're not this, in other words, they're detached from one another, they're disconnected from one another. You, Rav Huna, the whole beginning of the sugya said that if I have a machshav on one limb, it's not going to spread over to the second limb. Over here, we've just learned together that when you have a machshava pigle on blood, it's going to spread to the rest of the animal. The pigle b'yerach yimin, pigle b'yerach, I'm sorry, lo kolshekin, the pigle b'yerach yimin, pigle b'yerach small. So if you have a machshava pigle on the left, on the right leg, it's not going to spread to the left leg. Of course it is. And really the truth of the matter is we could just stop right there. Meaning, we already see that this thesis of Rav Huna, the chiddush of Rav Huna, is really unsupportable. But furthermore, va'od ha'ama ravina tashma komet says a mincha lechol shirai lahakter kom salamachar moed Rav Yosef bezusha pigle v'chayav v'lav karis. Furthermore, you do kemitza on a mincha, so that you're going to eat the shiraim, or you're going to burn the komets tomorrow. So Rav Yossi says, okay, that's going to result in pigle. Now, lahakter kom salaf gule mai. Now, you're saying now that you're going to burn the komets tomorrow, so that what part of the mincha now is subject to pigle? And don't say it's the komets. The komets is not going to be subject to pigle. Ilem alav gule komets mi mefagel. Again, we know this already, but it's just hammering the same point. The komets itself is not going to become pigle. It's the matir. So elap shita laf. I'm sorry. Vahatan matir. Matir. The komets is the matir. It permits. Lahakter comes to laf gule mai. Ilem alav gule komets mi mefagel. Vahatan we learned in the Mishnah elav v'am shein chayav malam mishum pigle. Ha komets v'chule. So elap shita laf gule shirayim. So in other words, even though your intent is on the komets, yes, the mincha is going to become pigle, but not the komets portion of it, the shirayim. Hashem ma'asam de lo chashibu shirayim gufei mifaglei hacha de chashibu bezvicha gufei lo kol shekein. And again, it's the same exact point. Even though your machshavas pigle is going on the komets, so it's going to spread to the rest of the mincha, otherwise known as the shirayim. So you don't mean. So of course, it goes without saying that if you have a machshav pigle on leg. On leg right side, certainly the machshava pigle will spread to leg left side. Okay, so Ella. So the Gemara says, Am Rav Yochanan hachi taima de Rav Yossi. So what we now need to do is we need to revisit Rav Yossi. So up until now, for the first half of today's daf, what we thought is that what's behind the position of Rav Yossi is really an idea that exists within pigle. That we thought that according to Rav Yossi, as a general idea by pigle, pigle will only be affected by the part that you're thinking about, and it does not spread. Pigle does not spread. That was our original presentation of Rav Yossi, and here we go now with the remainder of today's daf, Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Yossi. This is not a pigle halacha, this is a shtei halachem halacha. This is how we view the shtei halachem. One loaf or two loaves? And the answer is yes. Yes. Right. That's right. That's right. Danny said it so well. Today's math is that 1 = 2. Okay. Let me. I got a lot to do. Come back, and we'll discuss after. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My ta ella Rav Yochanan hachi taima de Rav Yossi akasav asin gufecha v'akasav masav shnei gufim." And in fact, this idea that the shtei alechem is both 1 and 2 is both contained within the pesukim. Guf echad de ma'akve. No, I'm sorry. Let me read the Rashi. I know I didn't do much in terms of reading Rashi. And by the way, I skipped. I feel terrible. I skipped today like a really critical Rashi. It takes us back to the Mishnah and the understanding of the Mishnah. Okay, I'm sorry about that. But okay, look at Rashi over here, 4 lines down. Hakasav asam guf echad v'hakasav asam beis gufim. Rashi, hakasav asam guf echad de'ma'akve adadi de'ein zuk share below zu. We know that these two loaves are interconnected. The pasuk says, Rashi quotes, dechsiv, I know I read in the beginning of shir today. Shtayim shnei esronim demashma shtayim velo achas. Meaning two over here as a unit. The two meaning that they need to be coming as a pair. Uksiv solas tihiyena. And at the same time, also the Torah treats each one independently. V'chol avayi kuva, v'oso kasav atzmo asan shnei gufim. And the idea is that it is the Torah treats them as independent entities. Midichsiv shtaim demashma dechol achas lishasa varichasa bifnei atzma. How do I prepare the two loaves independent of one another, separate from one another? Hilkach arvino da'amar kezayis ben shteim et arvim u'mitzarfim la'kasav asam gufechad. And now, because the Torah gives an ambiguity to how to look at the Shtei Alechem, whether they are to be viewed as two or whether to be viewed as one, so in other words, we just simply exist in that ambiguity. We're there. We're both treating them as a pair, and we're treating them as two. Okay? Hopefully I said that clearly enough. So, and now we go back to the Gemara. So, guf echad ma'akve adade. So, in other words, guf echad, because you can't bring one without the other. Shnei guf and dam rechmana halachude avide v'halachude avide. And two in that, and two meaning two separate entities, they have to be both prepared independently. Arvino mit arvin hakasov. If, let's say, you combine the two, the Torah already combined the two. Asam guf echad, palginu. Mefagle. And if I want to treat them like two separate entities, then I treat them like two separate entities. So in other words, so here's what's behind Rav Yossi. What's now behind Rav Yossi is as follows. If my machshavas pigel while shechting the two lambs is going on one of the loaves, that loaf is going to be pigel, and the other loaf is not. Why? Because I treat them independently. So did the Torah. If, let's say, I have a machshavas pigel on the two combined, a half a kazayis one and a half a kazayis on the other, like we learned in the Braisa on the Amud Aleph today, so then that also is going to be pigel on both. But what do you mean? Isn't it two separate entities? Yeah, but they're also one unit. Meaning the Torah treats them as both a unit and two separate entities. And so therefore, if your machshava is going on each independently, independent. If your machshava is going on both collectively, collective.
Like B'nai Israel and two
options. Yeah, right. Correct. By Rav Yochanan, pigel b'lach metoda mahu, b'minchas mafe mahu. And so the Gemara now just has some simple follow-up questions. They're really not that simple, but it's some simple follow-up questions. This idea now that we're treating the Lachmei Todah like one and two. So is this also going to be, are we going to be able to apply to, let's say, for example, the bread that's accompanied with the Karban Todah? Karban Todah is one carbon, one animal, with 40 loaves of bread that are attached to it, 40 loaves coming from four different categories of menachos. Also, Mafe Tanur. The minchas mafe, which comes from either chalos or rikikin. And there's an opinion, which we're going to see later in the Masechta, that it could be a combination of chalos and rikikin. Five chalos, five rikikin. We'll talk more about it later in the Masechta. So again, it's the same idea, or it's the same question, according to Rav Yossi. So do we say that a machshav on one limits itself to that and not the others? So Tanalei Rav Tachlifa, memarava v'chenata omer b'lachmetod v'chenata omer b'minchas mafe. So the Gemara has a braisa that actually says, yeah, in other words, the same idea would express itself both on the four categories of bread that accompany a todah and the two different types of menachos that come with a mafet tanur. Tanur Rabbanu b'shah shchita chishev l'achol chati zayis u'kishah zrika chishev l'achol chati zayis pigol m'mnei sheshchita v'zrika mitstarfin. Okay. Let's say during the shchita you have in mind to eat half a kazayis outside its prescribed time. And then, while shechting, you consider to have half a kazayis to be eaten outside prescribed time. Now, don't confuse this with what we learned yesterday. What we learned yesterday is that what you cannot combine is two separate consumers. That's not what's going on over here. We are not combining two separate consumers. Same consumer, it's just half a kazayis is during the shechita and half a kazayis is during the zrika. So the Gemara quotes as a braisa that for sure they combine. So here's the known entity, is that half a kazayis during shechita of chutzas mano, coupled with half a kazayis of chutzas mano by zrika combine. Ika de armi shechita v'zrika de tavar matir in kabbalah v'olach alav. Now, shechita v'zrika, as far as the four avodas are concerned, are one and four. Shechita being one, zrika being four. But you know what they have in common? They're both matirin. They both serve to permit. Shechita obviously permits for the consumption of the animal. I know there's still more to go by a karban, but still, the shechita is a matir. So obviously is a zrika. Zrika obviously is a matir as well. It allows for the consumption of the karban. But Kabbalah and Halacha, although they're avodas, in other words, they're part of the process, they're not the matir. And so right now what the Gemara will try to argue is that no. In other words, a machshav of chatzis kazayis of Kabbalah will not join and couple with a half a kazayis during holacha. Igadami, the Gemara says, on the other hand, I could really argue another direction. Hanach de merachan v'koshkein hanach de mekarvan. Look, if a machshava during one and four can combine, certainly a machshava during two and three, one and four are far from one another and they can combine, certainly a machshava during avoda number two and avoda number three can combine. Okay. Ini, the Gemara says, "V'hatini Levi arba avodas ain mitstarfin lepigol." Shechita v'zrika kabbalah v'alacha. Now the Gemara says, now I don't understand. How can one brisa tell me that a machshava for one and a machshava on four can combine when meanwhile I have another brisa quoted by Levi that says that no, they don't combine. A machshava during one avoda cannot combine with a machshava of another avoda. Amarava lokasha harebi harabanan. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not difficult, meaning let's be honest with each other. It is difficult. But in other words, they are simply reflecting the opinions of various Tanaim. The Tanya we learned in a brisa. Shochet is a kevas lechol chatzi zayis mechala zu v'chein. Chaver lechol chatzi zayis mechala zu Rebbe Omer ani shezek kasher. I shecht one of the lambs on Shavuos to have, and while shechting that I have in mind to eat, half of a kezayis of one loaf, coupled with the shechting of the second lamb, to eat a half a kezayis of the second loaf. So Rebbe's of the opinion, that's kasher. Kasher again, like I said earlier this morning, doesn't mean you get a congratulation, nor do you get a pat on the back. Just simply means that it has not materialized into pigle. So what do you see over here? Seemingly what you see over here is that even though they are two separate avodas, they do not combine. Now Amarle Abaye, now Abaye says that is not germane to our discussion. What we just learned in that brisa, really don't bring that into our discussion. We are discussing doing a full avoda and having half of a consumption in mind, half a kezayis in mind, and then doing another full avoda and having another half kezayis in mind, and whether they combine. What Rebbe's talking about are the two lambs on Shavuos. Remember, like we said in the beginning of Shir today, the two lambs of Shavuos, they are the matir, which means that one lamb is a chatzi matir. So shechting a lamb on Shavuos is half an avoda. Shechting the other lamb, that's the other half of the avoda. That's not germane to our discussion. Amalei Rava barav chana labai v'i islei l'rebi kulo matir v'chatzi achila ligzer chatzi matir v'chatzi achila atu kulo matir v'chatzi achila. Now the Gemara says, well, if you're right, so I don't understand, shouldn't there be at least a gzera? Now, daha Rabbi Yossi gazer v'rabban gazrei. Look, I'll show you Tanaim who clearly hold of Gzera. Rabbi Yossi Gazer did not lahakir Lavona to Lamacha. Rabbi Yossi Omer Pasal Veim Bokares. If let's say you were going to be Makir Lavona tomorrow, that's the mission that we did yesterday. So according to Rabbi Yossi, so it's disqualified, but it's not subject to Kares. V'chachamim Omerim Pigel v'chayev Malakares, and the Chachamim say no, in fact, it's Pigel. So what do you see that according to Rabbi Yossi he makes Gzera? In other words, when he said the word pasul over there, pasul does not mean minatara. It means rabbinically. And v'rabban and nami gazri did not pickle b'kametz v'lo b'lavona. Let's say he did pickle only during the kemitza, but not during the lavona, which is now chasi matir b'lavona v'lo b'kametz. Rav Meir omer pickle v'chayim alav karis. Now according to Rav Meir, it's pickle because Rav Meir is of the opinion that you can be mefagel with chasi matir v'chachamim omrim ein bo karis ad shiyafagel b'chol hamatir. And according to the chachamim, no, you need a full matir. Now, And the Gemara's understanding right now is that according to the Chachamim, despite the fact that it's not pigle, but still it's disqualified, at least rabbinically. So you see that according to Rabbi Yossi, you see it according to the Chachamim, so there's a gzera. So the Gemara says, so according to Rabbi, so when you shechting one lamb with a chatz, with a half a kezayis, with a machshava going on half a kezayis of loaf number one, shechting the second lamb and going on a half a kezayis of loaf number two, so I understand, it won't materialize to pigle, but at least make a gzera. So Amarle Hachi Hashta, the Gemara says, why are we comparing the two? Bishlama Hasam, over there, Gazer Rabbi Yossi, comes to Lavona, Atu comes to Mincha. Over there, in the two cases you just cited, I understand there's room to make a gzera, because the whole idea of a gzera is, this will lead to this. So in the case of a comets of a Lavona, Atu comes to Mincha, because there is a kemitza, that there the kemitza that's done by a Mincha, where there it's not a half of an avoda, that's a full avoda. Meaning the act of kemitza, that's it. Meaning that's a full avoda. And Rabbanan Gazri comments atu comments the minchas chote. And according to the Chachamim, look, a kemitza done, the burning of the kemitza, even though generally that's half a matir, but if it's a mincha of a sinner where there is no lavona, burning is a full matir. U lavona atu lavona hababa bezichin, and burning lavona by itself. Although in a standard mincha, that's a half a matir, when it comes to the burning of the bazich and the two spoonfuls, that's a full matir. So, kvasim nami, keves atu keves chavero, bazach atu bazach chavero. And I understand. The one lamb because of its companion, and one spoonful because of its companion, alahacha. But in this unusual case of Rebbe, where you're shechting one lamb with half a kazayas of loaf number one, and a second lamb with half a kazayas of loaf number two, mi'ika chatzi mati v'chatzi achila ba'alma delekim v'legzer. This is literally unprecedented, where I have a half a matir on a half of an achila. So hachinami mistabed the time of the rabbanim mishum hachihu dektani seifa modim chacham l'rameir b'minchas chote b'minchas kanoshi impigo bekomish impigo v'chayiv malav karetz shakometu amatir. So the Gemara says, and it's clear that according to the Chachamim, they made a gzera because consider, the Chachamim say that if I have an intent of either mincha v'chote or mincha v'sota, where if you're mefag on the kometz, so that's pigle. Now halamali lemisneklal, why was there even a need to include that? Obviously, meaning of the mincha v'chote and the mincha v'sota, there's only kometz, there is simply no lavona. So Ella, I'm sorry, Pshita Miika Mati Achrina, Ella Lav Hakamashwan at the time of the comments, Mishum Diika comments, Diminchas Kote de Damile. Clearly what's on the Chachamim's mind is that the reason why there's a rabbinic concern is because this case can actually lead to another case where it actually will materialize into pigle, i.e. a case in which there simply is no Lavona. So the point is that clearly that's behind the Chachamim and why they make a rabbinic concern. Quickly to summarize. Today what we learned is that when you are shechting the shnei kvasim on Shavuos, and you have in mind one of the loaves of the shtei halechem, so that one loaf is going to become pigle, what about the second loaf? The Chachamim and the Mishnah said yes, that also, and Rabbi Yossi and the Mishnah said no. And what we did over the course of today's daf, and this is really simple, this is a summary statement, is that we gave two explanations of Rabbi Yossi. The first, Rav Huna, in that this is a function of pigle. Pigle is localized to the only part of the animal that you had in mind, and it simply does not spread to other parts of the carbon. That, however, was seemingly disproven over the course of today's daf, and the Gemara therefore opted with the second explanation of Rav Yossi, that provided by Rav Yochanan, in that this is a shtei halechem halacha, in that the Torah creates a ambiguity as it relates to the shtei alechem. Are the two loaves considered one unit, or are they considered like two separate loaves? And the answer is yes. In other words, the answer is both. Both. And so therefore, when you have a machshava on, this is all according to Rav Yossi, when you have a machshava on both, it can combine. When you have a machshava on one, it only affects that one to the exclusion of its counterpart. This is it for